This is the Dr. Nick and Hot Aussie Chick Show, where we talk everything casinos and help you get the advantage.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever time it is, you're listening to Dr. Nick.
And the Hot Aussie Chick, or Wally, as I call you.
You're just making fun of me because I have my sleeping cap on.
Oh, who gets around in a red and white sleeping cap? Waldo. Waldo in the USA, right?
Well, he wears a beanie, but mine doesn't have a furry thing, and it's not warm out. I just wear it because it's fashionable.
It's not fashionable.
It is very fashionable.
I hate to break your pride. It's not fashionable.
I just think this fashion hasn't arrived in Australia yet.
You look like a dick. Anyhow, we're being very rude.
There's more to it.
And there's the third voice. We have a special guest who we will not name.
We will just call him Eric.
Yes, that'll be fine.
Yep, that's cool.
We'll call him Eric. So we have Eric on because, of course, it's World Series of Poker. Lots of things happening. Things that I'll get to later on.
And so we are pretty much halfway in between the World Series 2018.
Yes, and Eric has experienced, I don't know, a lot more poker than me, at a lot higher stakes, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So, played quite a bit for about, 15 years.
Right, and during those 15 years, of course, we're talking high stakes. And, you know, so Eric's been up there, played with big boys, been down, of course, and that's what we wanted to touch on. And that's why we're not telling you who it is, because it's like, you know, really sucky when you like hit rock bottom, go back up, hit rock bottom, go back up, and all that kind of stuff. So Eric is here to give you information and, you know,
kind of
insight.
What to look out for, yeah, you know, in the poker world.
Right. Yeah. So last night, Eric was playing 1-2 cash.
Yeah.
Here in Vegas, of course.
Yeah, it's not too high stakes, but you run into people that just are all over the place. You have a hard time judging them because they just throw money at the pot random. You know, it's somebody you want in the game, but you can definitely, you know, get caught in between people trying to collude or try to catch your money. So in situations like that, you just got to be really careful and play high
awareness type of a game.
Yeah, just make sure you know what you're doing and see what they're doing at the same time, and just play high quality hands.
How is that different to higher stakes? Because, like, obviously, you know, we said you played much higher stakes. Let's what's the biggest pot you've ever played in?
I lost a pot for like a little over 150,000.
And now you see, guys and girls, why we're not naming Eric.
you can't change luck. Sometimes you play right and you do everything the right way and it just doesn't end your way. You can flop top set with nothing on the board, no draws, and catch somebody trying to make a play, and they can just catch up, you know, run a runner, hit you from the back door, and just you can't protect against everything. But if you play, you know, odds poker and maintain doing it the right way all the time, you know, your number should catch up. So if you're playing it right and you're doing the right thing, you just gotta be careful, you know who you're playing against, try to get a feel for the game a lot of times, because if you go in and you just, you know, throw all your money at it because you see stuff happening, a lot of people change the way they play and you don't understand the dynamic when you first sit at a table. So I like to, you know, test the waters out a little bit, see who's doing what they're, try to make a couple of calls just to see what people have and see what kind of quality they're playing. So
what are the fundamental differences between high stakes and low stakes?
High stakes, you're gonna run into people who play smart. You're also gonna run into people that have so much money that
more
they
money
just,
than sense.
Right. So you just gotta know who you're playing. And when you sit at a table, obviously, if you're playing high stakes, you don't want to get in there and start mixing things up to try to see where people are at. You just have to play the numbers game and try to watch everything that happens. You have to be a lot more attentive because you don't want to have a couple of bad hands in high stakes, because you can lose a ton really fast.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also, the opposite is also true, you know, if you maintain and play right and watch what's going on, you can definitely take advantage of it. So
would you say that you're more inclined to lose money real fast or gain money real fast in a lower stakes game as compared to a high stakes game? Or is it pretty equal?
Obviously, it's going to be, you're going to, you know, gain and lose more faster in the high stakes because of how much mm-hmm. you're betting. Mm-hmm. But the fluctuation, I think, relatively, is going to be higher in a lower stakes game because people aren't as worried about, oh, well, this is, you know, I'm calling for 12 grand or, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, most people that play at us at a lower level like that can afford to lose most of that money. They're not going to be hurting. And the people that play high stakes also, but a lot of people that play high stakes, it's either they're either doing it like as a living, they do it to make their money, or they have enough money that it doesn't matter.
Right.
So it's, you know.
So it's the same. Basically, so it's the same.
At the
just
higher,
not a player.
At the higher, highest of games where you get these multi gazillionaires who
right.
come here on vacation, they pretty much treat it like a low stakes game because the money
right.
is not really there for them.
Right.
There's this Indian billionaire who plays and he just throws, you know, money at the pot regardless. Now, he's a decent player, he's got half a brain,
right.
but you know, it's he does it for the enjoyment. Or somebody like Dan Shack, who's got more money than time.
Okay.
So, and a lot of shoes.
Yeah.
for people who don't know about that, Dan Shack got a divorced his wife, and she, and as a part, he went after her for her shoe collection, was worth over $1 million. So
poor Biff. I loved that
wow.
shoe collection.
Wow.
It's just fabulous. Anyone
I think
wants
he got it and maybe donated it to charity or something.
I don't know what he did. But anyone
awesome.
That wants to see Biff Shack's shoe collection, go on YouTube. It's like on Crib, some Crib thing on Biff Shack shoe closet. Amazing. Okay, so
that's awesome.
Basically, the low stakes plays, because you know most of the people that they're going to be lower stakes. Most of our
right.
listeners, they're obviously trying to also, as you know, work as an advantage gambler and work their way up to the highest stakes.
Right.
What advice would you give these guys?
I'd say just stay consistent. Don't get flustered with stuff and get thrown off and play tilt poker. It's easy to do that to people at a lot of the low stakes games is, you know, make a couple, plays, show them that you're messing with them a little bit and then, you know, get in and play something a little off and take them down for big money. And they're like, well, how can you do that? You know, but if they're playing super low and you can get in for $2 or $5 and see something, you got city connectors and you can kind of, you know, get them off their game. It's a lot easier there. But just as you're doing it, make sure you don't allow yourself to get caught in that. You know, if you have a great hand, make sure you try to push some people out. Get it to a one-on-one, or if you're playing, you know, and somebody does catch up to you, just don't lose it and just start throwing money at the pot. Just stay consistent and play smart poker.
So, we've seen, like you just mentioned, suited connectors. We've seen the likes of Gus Hansen in large stakes, and we mention him a lot because, you know, he plays some pretty funky hands. Does that happen often in higher stakes?
Yeah, definitely. You see what people's what people lean towards. Some people play, they love pairs, or some people love, you know, big face cards. Some people love the suited connectors, and you see different people tend to play them differently. And, you know, if you play around some people long enough, you'll see what they tend to key on. And then you can, you know, gauge their hand strength just by how they're playing. But it definitely, a lot of people, they play a lot. And the longer they play, the more they get these favorite hands that they've hit with. Or, you know, so they tend to play stuff that might not be the nuts. You know, they get... feelings. They catch
mm-hmm.
feelings for
mm-hmm.
hands, you know. So when they do that, it's a little different. And I think that people that have played a long time, even though they try to play smarter, they do hold a certain sentiment for a lot of the hands that they've done really well with, won tournaments or,
right.
you know. So,
yeah.
Well, Danielle has a favorite hand. What is your favorite hand, Danielle?
My favorite hand, excuse me, is the 7-8 of diamonds. So if you see me 4-betting, it could be either that or aces.
What's your favorite hand, Eric?
Probably Queen 9 of Hearts.
Any significance? Or?
Yeah, I won like a $14,000 little tournament that me and my buddies were playing, and I called somebody's all in for like my whole stack without looking at it.
It was the queen of nine hearts.
And it was queen nine of hearts, and I hit the nut flush. So
Choking. So, I'm bourbon.
My favorite hand, Danielle, you know what that is.
Pocket fives.
And I've hit quads with them a bunch of times.
Like oh, five. Just in a matter of months. I've never seen so many fives.
Yes. So I like the fives. So with me, could be fives. Could be 7-2 offsuit.
Out of all of the games you've played, Eric, have you stuck around the same little, you know, drinking holes, so to speak, or do you move around? I mean, is it smart to, like, stay there and play at the same place?
It can be. You do get to know who the competition is, and you get friendly with people, and that's nice. And you can sort of see who's new, who's a tourist, who's coming in that, you know, is just drunk, trying to play a bunch of money, whatever. And so it can be nice, but also like going to different places, getting feels for different games, it'll get you, you know, if you ever want to do tournaments, getting around new people and starting fresh and seeing just how to judge people, learning how to make reads or originally on, you know, how people are playing. I mean, it's all different for what you're trying to get into, but definitely can help making moves to different places because then they don't know how you play and you can try to change the game up to your pace. But yeah, it's all, you know, if you want to get used to playing tons of different people and get good at reading them, then change it up. But if you just want to like hone in, know exactly how people are going to play every time, stick to the same place, and you know, then try to pick off money that's coming in from somewhere else. So,
gotcha. Well, that is Eric, aka Vegas, aka Eric Vegas, high stakes, low stakes, and all in between stakes player, who can, you know, obviously lead me, I hope, in the right direction to get off my little $1 games. Cause this really sucks, guys.
You played some online poker recently, didn't you?
I did. I played some online
poker. The Hot Aussie Chicks triumphant return to online poker. How did that go?
Not very well. Let me tell you, I was the only Australian flag amongst all the U.S. flags in the tournament.
And it's perfectly legal because you are in Nevada right now for the World Series of Poker, so the Australian government cannot come after you.
Well, I hope not. They're going to, though, now, if they're able to, aren't they? Because, you know, I'm on radio telling them that I played online poker. But whatever. Anyhow, yes. So while you're in Nevada, you're under the laws of Nevada, I'm able to play online poker. I return to online poker, have my set of queens smacked by an 8-6 offsuit.
Straight.
Nothing on the board for them. Runner straight. That really freaking sucked. Why call my all-in with that? Whoever did that, if you're listening, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You should quit poker right now. Or stay around so I can take more of your money.
Because I'm coming for all of it.
Right, exactly. Because you suck that much. And then I played Ninja Poker with my 150 chips I had left, thanks to that moron. And I had pocket kings in the big blind, and I got busted out.
I want to discuss a couple things that actually came up recently. There was, maybe Eric has some insight on this as well. A Facebook post came out the other day and said that they had to switch the decks a couple times at a WSOP event because one of the tournament directors.
They had to switch them. The cards were being marked. Two decks in a row were marked. That's not cool, guys, if you're out there marking cards. Like, seriously, get a bit of class. This is a World Series of Poker. You shouldn't be doing stupid shit like that. The dealer was ordered to watch after every
folded
hand.
Examine the cards until they...
Which really sucked because, you know, they're, like, right on the bubble and there's a guy with a big stack and he wanted to use his stack to his advantage and, you know, play slowed down and he's, like, saying, no, I don't want this to happen, but nonetheless, they, you know, obviously wanted to do it right. And I think that's the right decision.
Have you ran into anything like that during your time, Eric? Do you see any collusion?
You definitely see people doing some collusion, and I mean, you see some people, like, doing silly things with the cards that you're like, why are you, you know, what are you doing? And if you make a statement, you know, if you see it happening, just say something like, hey, what are you doing? You know, then the dealer can be on it. You can ask the room boss, room manager, you know.
Do they actually do anything? Because it's been my experience that poker managers really don't care about the money in the poker room because it's not theirs. They care about the rake, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, but if you see somebody doing something, if you see them colluding or trying to mark cards, a lot of the time they'll get 86 from that poker room and possibly the casino. So it's not, you know, it's, a lot of the stuff isn't something that they can have them arrested for or anything like that. But a lot of the times it is, I mean, that is serious, you know. You're taking advantage of a situation trying to...
And particularly that poker room would get not the greatest reputation as and then that could hurt business.
Absolutely. It does for sure. If people, that's why they have so many rules in a lot of these places. They all have their own set of rules. Things are ran a little differently for all the games. But, you know, they do have general rules that are meant to make it a safe, reasonable environment that they can monitor, you know.
Right.
That's why a lot of them, some places are, you know, no swearing, some places are no
whatever. I'd like that.
Yeah.
Not.
And so it's a...
Well, they would ban you, Danielle. You have a little bit of a mouth on you.
That would fucking piss me off.
For real. Last night we had almost a whole table get kicked out of one of the casinos.
Oh,
because
wow.
They were all screaming, and then one guy is, fuck this, and another guy's like, yeah, fucking A, yeah, you know.
Wow.
Just,
rowdy.
And they were all just rowdy. It was a whole table pretty much, you know, and it was like, one guy got kicked out first, and then the three other people didn't stop, so then one of them got kicked out, and then this girl got kicked out because she was like, this is fucking bullshit, like, just that she was raging, you know. And
wow,
so it was,
wow.
Crazy. They're all feeding on each other, but they're betting crazy money, and they're, you know, it's
well,
cool.
You
kind of
like
nice.
That.
Yeah.
Right.
They can be good for the game and
bad for the
game.
Yeah, they were super loud at the table next to me. I was like, I want to be over there. Because I see what they're doing, I'm like, I'm over there just cashing in chips. But there, you know, creates a weird environment for other people that are trying to concentrate and do what they're doing, you know.
Before you go, Eric, the best highest stake poker players, are there any Aussies in that mix that you've come across? Careful what you say here.
I mean, not that I've come across, you know, like, I myself haven't really played with a whole bunch of Aussies.
Right.
Well, how about this? Is there any poker players that you admire, that you kind of like their style or mimic or study how they play to kind
himself.
Of... Other than yourself.
Myself? Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of different people play, and I'll see different things in their game that I like, and it's so I don't really, like... try to mimic their game at all, because there will be something about it that I like and something about somebody else's that I like, and so I'll just take little pieces and try to you know, get it all together at the same time. And when you're playing, you know, when you're playing perfect and your numbers are going right and you're doing the things that you say you're going to do ahead of time, and you know, sometimes it just clicks and they feel like it's a piece of all the different things that you learn watching and playing, you know.
Are there any hands that taught you lessons? Because I'm fairly new to the poker game, and I'm trying to remember things about, you know, over the... Because I got a major tournament coming up this weekend, and I just kind of I've been playing tournaments over the last couple of weeks slightly, and there are things that
he's played for 3 weeks, and he's trying for his first World Series of Poker bracelet, everyone.
Nice.
Just saying, like,
nice.
Oh, wow.
Well, because, I mean, there's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or that was a dumb move.
It's hard... Especially when you're starting to not get married to hands, you know.
Play them all, people.
Well,
play them all.
And not necessarily just playing them all, but like if you have pocket jacks, you love to see that pre-flop, you know.
Do you love
not
to
Danielle.
See pocket jacks pre-flop?
Not anymore.
Oh, not anymore.
exactly,
okay,
exactly
I hate seeing
but like,
them.
But I mean, really, originally, like, you're playing the numbers and you're like, these are good hands and these are, you know. You got to figure there's only three hands that can be ahead of you pre-flop.
Right.
Three hands, you know? So you're like, this is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, okay, before the flop even comes out, you love that. But somebody else, you know, could easily have aces, kings, or queens, and you run into it enough times as you're playing that you're like, wow, what's, you know.
Or in my case, 8-6 offsuit.
Anything, really. It, you know, you don't know what other people are going to call with. I've had pocket aces and been called with, you know.
Junk.
Garbage, you know. Queen Jack, even, like, not, that's,
well,
not
garbage.
Well, not garbage,
but not as good as pocket aces.
But for $400 pre-flop, you know, stupid raises, and, you know, people are like, okay, well, they call, and...
If you're going to do that, would you suggest betting huge?
I know why we've got Eric here now, just to give you advice for your tournament.
Yeah.
Forget everyone else.
Well, Eric's watched me play a couple times, and we did okay.
Yeah, I think if you push a lot... You know, just be careful, because sometimes you'll run into kings or aces, you know, with your... But if you have jacks, queens, kings, or aces, you generally assume you're ahead pre-flop. You know, if there's somebody 3-betting you or 4-betting you or whatever, obviously you got to take another look at what you've got and how they've been playing.
Yeah, and that's the key, isn't it? How they've been playing,
right.
What they've been doing.
Right. So
that little tells.
I look at it like this. I mean, if you get a lot of callers pre-flop, I think it stands to reason that there's more high cards, and the distribution of high cards is pretty relative. You know, pretty standard among there. So it could, you know, that could work.
Yes, or you're on a table full of.
Or you could treat them like 10 jack. You know, a volume hand.
Yeah, there's. You end up like, I've been in hands where 6 people have pairs. You know. And one person has an ace. You know, it's like, it's really hard, but you do see how people play and, like, being responsive to how they're reacting to other people's play.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, okay, well, that was kind of a scared call over here. He kind of snap called, but there's still 3 behind, so you got to be worried about how strong his hand is.
So it sounds like you're really focused on trying to put the story together.
Yes.
To say, make sure it makes sense, which is what Danielle has been teaching me to do.
To no avail.
Because it teaches you definitely, there definitely is a story. You see how each person reacts to each bet, you know, how long it takes them to make the call, what their...
Make sure it all adds up, basically.
And don't just watch, you know, don't just think that, but like watch their facial expressions.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are really good, some people are... You know, you can read everything that they're doing on their face. You know, when they're trying to bluff you. You know, but you see the progression, and you can tell when people are lying. You know, it's definitely, you're like, that doesn't make sense. And sometimes people don't make sense. You can't. They come up. They just do something random. You know,
let me tell you,
how does that work?
My times playing live poker, which are pretty limited, because I, you know, would rather play online, but. The hardest people for me to play against are drunk people. You know, because their tells are just, like, untellable, in my opinion. I mean, they're loose and they're crazy and they do all kinds of stuff, and you want them there, don't get me wrong. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I'm not alone there. Anyhow, we won't take up any more of your time. Thank you for coming along, Eric.
Awesome.
Hopefully you'll give some inspiration to those out there that are trying to move up stakes, or ones that have been busted, like your butt got busted, kind of.
Yeah.
And, yeah, hopefully this has been very helpful. I know it's been helpful for me.
And a little bit of insight for me. So, Eric, Vegas Eric, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks.
So, after this, we're going to come back. We have another guest, Steve Boré of the American Casino Guide. Talks about his book, The Coupons, and we will be back shortly.
If you're receiving this transmission, then this operation is a success. Dr. Nick and the Hot Aussie Chick are in the house and ready to dissect blackjack, poker, and everything in between.
Today we have a guest, to the writer, author, founder, originator of the American Casino Guide book, which is the most comprehensive casino book regarding current rules, current conditions, and a ton of coupons for casinos all across the United States of America. Steve Bore, how are you today?
Okay, Nick, how you doing?
Not doing too bad. Steve is located in sunny Florida, and we are located in sunny Nevada, so we are both familiar with the hot weather.
Deathly hot Nevada.
Yes, deathly hot. So as we said, Steve Bore is the author of the American Casino Guide, along with several other people. I've known Steve, how long have we known each other, 4 or 5 years, Steve?
Yeah, something like that. I think we met at the blackjack ball a couple
Of years ago. Yes, a few years ago we did. And we just briefly, and I've gotten to know Steve over the years. And he sent me, this is the second year I've gotten it, the American Casino Guide book, which I believe is the most comprehensive and actually biggest selling book about casino gaming in the U.S. Is that correct?
It is. We've been doing the book for 27 years, and when we first started out, you know, with the internet wasn't that big, so back then the book was the source. But now a lot of people go out and they can find a lot of the information on the internet, but what they can't find is the coupons that we have in the book. We have 174 coupons. There's lots of, like, two-for-one buffets and gambling bonuses and two-for-one shows, things like that. So usually if you can spend, if you use just one or two of the coupons, you can more than recover the cost of the book.
Absolutely, absolutely. The free bets I find particularly useful, and unlike some other books that are out there, they are all across the U.S. So you cover some Atlantic City, some Tunica, Mississippi, some in the South, the East, North, and of course Las Vegas.
Right. The book's really divided into three parts. The front part has information on how to play the games. Right. I write most of the stories, but there are other gambling experts that contribute to the book, like Henry Tam Buren and Gene Scott. Then the middle part of the book has information on the casinos. It has a map. It has alphabetical listing of each casino and has information on each casino. And then the back part has the coupon information. And like I said, so it's a big book. It's 480 pages.
Right, right. And one thing that I found useful for aspiring Advantage players is you cover, like, the top games within the each, at least in Las Vegas, when I saw, like, the best blackjack games, the best roulette games, things of that nature, which I think is very helpful for those who are probably wanting to minimize their losses, or at least, you know, come as close as they can to doing that.
Right. Each year we put a story in there, the best places to play in Las Vegas, the best places to play in Atlantic City, the best places to play in Biloxi, the best places to play in Tunica, and it covers where to get the best blackjack, craps, and roulette, and video poker.
Right. Now, I've got a question for you. Have you considered, you know, over the years, you've been doing this, like you said, for 20 plus years, have you considered ever evaluating, maybe putting a section in the book of where the best comps are, or which places are more friendly to players, that it's a little bit easier? Because as we've seen in the last, you know, 15, 20 years particularly, the comps have actually gone down substantially.
Well, everything's gotten tighter since, you know, the book originally came out.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to address that because it's constantly changing.
Right.
But what we do is we have a section on our website called Vegas Values.
Right.
And it's updated each week. We have someone in Las Vegas who lives and works there, and he updates it and keeps on top of the casino promotions.
Right.
So if someone is interested, they can go there and see what the best promotions are in Las Vegas for that particular week. So it's easier to address something like that on the website rather than the book, which is printed once a year.
Right, right. Now what the website is AmericanCasinoGuide.com, is that correct?
Yes,
and one thing that I found are the videos that you have on there, which are very informative. Can you give us touch a little bit about those?
Sure. We have a YouTube channel, and we have over 22 million views on the YouTube channel. And we pick a topic, you know, I think one of the most popular ones recently is 8 Things to Never Do in a Casino.
Right.
And so we'll just pick a topic. So right now I'm doing them, the last few ones I did with me and my son Matt. My son Matt helps me with the book.
Mm-hmm.
But we go to casinos and we like to gamble ourselves. We're in South Florida. We're about a mile from the Hard Rock. So that down here we have casinos. The Hard Rock's the only one that has live table games. The other casinos have electronic table games. So, you know, I like to look for good value when I gamble, and I like to write about it, so we like to talk about it. We both go and gamble. But I've interviewed other experts, Michael Shackelford, The Wizard of Oz, Anthony Curtis from Las Vegas Advisor, Henry Tamburin on blackjack, have Bob Dancer on video poker, and Linda Boyd on video poker. So we have a whole series of videos there. We have, I think, about 115 now. So there's a wealth of information, and you know, and it's all free out on YouTube.
Right. Now, you mentioned video poker, and when you were in Vegas the last time we spoke, is video poker your game of choice right now?
That is what I play.
Okay.
Yeah, years ago, I learned how to count cards, and I was never a big player, but I said, you know, I write this book. I ought to take the time and effort to learn how to count cards. So I did it, and I counted cards, but I never bet much. I would bet, like, you know, $5 to $30.
Yeah.
And I was just curious as to whether or not it worked, and yes, it did work, and I did it for a few years, and people said, oh, how much money did you win this? Well, you know, after 2 years, I won $1,800.
Wow.
and they laugh and say, well, what a waste that was. I said, well, you know, there was a casino boat here, and I used to go once a week with my friend, and we'd go on the boat, and we'd eat for free, and we'd drink for free, and we'd have fun, and I made money over the course of a couple of years. I mean, I wasn't out to break the casino. Right. I was just out to have some fun. And basically, that's the idea behind the book, you know, how to go out and have some fun in the casino without it costing you a lot of money, looking for value in the casino. Most people, and there's millions of people every day, they go in the casino and they're just absolutely clueless. You know, they just sit anywhere and just playing a game and have no idea in the world what they're doing. And they think it's all luck, but you know, there is a skill to some games. Some games are pure luck and some are skill, so you need to learn how to differentiate between the two and then find the better games that offer you the better values.
Right, and it, just so you know, I did use the coupons the other day, and we went to one of the LA subs, which gives you a 2-for-1, and I think our bill before the coupon was like $43, but after the coupon, it was like 28 or 25 something, right? Was it, Danielle?
Yeah, something like that. Obviously, we couldn't get everything half price.
Well, right,
but dent off the bill.
Yeah, and with the cost of things going up in Vegas so much, anybody who lives in Vegas, I think, you know, it's well worth the $19 or even $14.95 or whatever the price is to get it, because you're going to use it so much, it almost instantly pays for itself.
Yeah, the cover price on the book, if you're going to a bookstore and buy it, it's $18.95. But we sell it on our website for $12.49 plus the shipping.
Right.
So, you know, it's like I said, if you use one coupon, you can get $15 back. So it's and that's just one. There's over 174 in total. So we have people who buy it every year.
Right.
They don't need the casino information anymore, but they like the coupons, so they buy it just for the coupons.
Right, and even some of the and the coupons are always a little bit better, I find, on some of like the downtown properties, or even on the strip, or not the strip properties, but the suburban properties, the station casinos, because they were trying whatever they can to bring those players to those properties, and again they do that with better food, lower prices, and some coupons like in your book, as well as some better games. So all in all, it's a win for everybody.
Yeah.
So you said you've been doing this for 27 years. So what, you know, I always like to get people's insights on the evolution of the gaming industry, particularly Las Vegas. Do you have any, you know, what's the biggest change that you've seen over the almost 30 years that you've been doing the book?
Gotten more expensive.
I agree there 100%.
I mean, it used to be like heaven, especially if you were a sharp gambler. Well, you know, at least as far as video poker, I would say, because that's where the true value was.
Right.
And the machines got tighter, the comps got tighter, They got resort fees. They got parking fees. And I'm in Florida, so sometimes I would say, well, I'll go to the Bahamas. And Bahamas, now, by the time you pay the taxes and the fees to go to the Bahamas, it's about the same as going to Las Vegas. So I say, well, I'd rather go to Las Vegas than the Bahamas. But now it's getting to the point in Las Vegas where I say, well, I don't know if I want to go all the way out there. It's just getting expensive.
Or, yeah, you in Florida as well, is that the cruises are so dirt cheap there, too. So popping on a ship to the Bahamas, a couple hundred bucks for 3 days beats the heck out of coming to Vegas and even, you know, spending all that money. But what we did learn, we learned something about the wind yesterday, didn't we, Danielle? About the parking?
That they've reduced it? That it's gone. And the Encore.
Yeah, the Encore Casino in Vegas took away their parking fees. So hopefully that's a beginning trend and we can start seeing that price reduction. Yeah, some price reduction. But again, you know, the more money you can save on parking, the better off you're going to be, you know, overall, even with the coupons that you provide. So spending less and having more fun is always a big objective in Las Vegas.
So, Steve,
go ahead.
Well, I saw that article, and I think it said you had to spend $50 or so. Somehow it was free if you spent at least $50 or you gambled $50 or something. But I mean, I always thought it was, well, that was one of the reasons. When I grew up, we used to go to the horse track, you know, because the horse track was everywhere. And they charge you to park, they charge you for admission, they charge you for a program. And by the time, you know, you were out, you know, back then, maybe $6 or $8, which was a lot of money back then. So I just felt, you know, they kept dinging you for everything before you even made a bet.
Right.
And now it's sort of feeling like that in Las Vegas. They're dinging you before, you know, if you're going to go in and gamble, you know, they should, you know, take care of you, I think, in a better way. But you know, that's the way the industry is moving.
Is it your own lifestyle, do you think, that prompted you to organize coupons in the book?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Was it your own lifestyle, do you think, that helped you, well, made you decide to organize coupons into the book, into the American Casino Guide?
Well, it was an offshoot of what Anthony Curtis does with Las Vegas Advisor. Because I used to go and use his pocketbook of values.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started doing the book, I didn't have any coupons, and I thought maybe I should try and add some coupons. But I tried to get them for around the country, but it's a little harder to get them around the country because it's not quite as competitive a market.
Right.
You know, in Las Vegas, you have all those casinos, and they're all competing against each other. And elsewhere in the country, you might have a riverboat, and you're going to have to travel 100 miles to get to the next casino.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not that eager to be competitive and give away coupons.
Now, do you expect, because we're seeing kind of an explosion in the casino gaming market all across the U.S. right now. So can we anticipate some more coupons as the market increases competitively?
Well, we always try. We try and approach casinos.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think a casino would say, because we don't charge them to be in the book. You would say, wow, this is great. We're going to get, you know, new people. But sometimes I scratch my head and, you know, that. A lot of them, they won't even answer an email, so I'm not
really. Well,
I'm not sure what the thinking is there.
Yeah,
but
free advertisement.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they're so tend to be focused on extracting as much money as they can from players as quickly as they can. They forget to see the big big picture and the value that a player gets or the company gets in a returning player. So again, maybe we can reach some of them and just so they can see the value and get those people, because it just seems that the thinking within the gaming environment tends to be backwards, at least at the management level.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at the book, the only people who buy the book are people who like to go to casinos.
Right.
If they go to casinos, they pretty much like to gamble. So I don't quite understand, because I would say that, you know, casinos will just make the person earn a buffet. Well, you know, rather than get a 2-for-1 buffet, mm-hmm. they, you know, earn 100 points and get a free buffet.
Right.
So, you know, So they earn the points. You cover your expense and give them the free buffet away. And a player who's going to go play at another casino will go to your casino, and you know he'll earn the points on his card in your casino rather than the other casino. So you've taken this player away from another casino to play in your casino, and it really didn't cost you anything because you made him earn the buffet.
Exactly. They're gonna spend the money anyway, so might as well be at your place instead of somebody else's. And I think the added benefit is if they have a more positive experience at your casino, that's free marketing. That's better than any type of, word of mouth is better than any type of poster or billboard they could put up, or even TV commercial, you know. So that's always good. And they could bring their friends or family or wife or what, they could play there. It sometimes it's, you know, two, at least if there's a two-for-one buffet, you're getting two players instead of just the one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just Steve, I've never met you. What do you do in your spare time?
Gamble.
Well, when you're not gambling.
When I'm not gambling? I like to travel and go to casinos. So okay. We got some trips planned this year. We're going to try and go, my wife and I are going to try and go to Michigan. My goal is to try and see as many casinos as I can. You know, I've been doing the boat for 27 years. I have not seen every casino, but I'd say I've seen about 75% of the casinos in the U.S.
Wow.
So we're going to go to Michigan. I have not been to any casinos in Michigan. Upper Michigan, when the fall foliage turns, the colors turn. And then we're going to come back and go to New Mexico when they have the Albuquerque balloon fiesta with the hot air balloons. And then in New Year's Eve, we're going to go to Hong Kong.
Oh.
And I'm going to visit Macau. We've never been to Macau.
Well, I have been to Macau, and you will absolutely love it. It is a great time. Have you been to the new Washington, D.C. casino?
The MGM National
yes.
Harbor.
Yes.
Yeah, I was there a few months ago. That was a beautiful place.
Right. What was your impression of the gaming environment there? Is it good, bad, neutral?
The place was packed, and my impression was that I don't think I've ever seen slot machines more tightly put together than in that casino.
Wow.
There was like hardly any room to move. But to just go into any of those Northeast casinos, I'm amazed how busy they are.
Right. I cut my teeth over at Foxwoods with the MIT Blackjack teams years ago. Have you ever visited Mohegan Sun or Foxwoods? In Connecticut.
I have, but it was a long time ago.
Yes, it's changed a little bit. So much to the point of I don't believe the tribe owns any interest anymore in the Foxwood Casino, but I may be mistaken on that. But anyway, so any plans or when's the new release date coming up for the 2018 book? Or the 2019 book, rather?
Yeah, we always have a new book that comes out around November the 1st.
Okay. And now I have the 2018 book that you sent. Do we have any new additions to the 2019 book that we're looking forward to? Some new insights or new coupons?
Well, there aren't that many new casinos that open.
Right.
I think in Massachusetts, they're working on the Wynn and the MGM up there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they changed the name from Wynn to Encore.
Yes.
Because of wind problems, but there's a few casinos that open each year, but not. I mean, back in the '90s was when they were opening left and right.
Right.
That was a very interesting time. But nowadays it doesn't change so much. Now one thing I forgot to mention again for people who like to go to casinos, we have a free app. You can download it for your iPhone. Or for any Android device, it's in the App Store, the Google Play Store. Just search for American Casino Guide, and I use it all the time. It's really convenient because you can it'll bring up a list of any state, show you the casinos during the state, and you can. We have a casinos near me function. No matter where you're going, if you hit casinos near me, it'll show you a list of all the casinos within a 100-mile radius.
Very
and
nice.
If you want, yeah, then if you want, you can use the map, and it'll show you on a map, or you sort by distance from you or rating. So it's really good, and it's free.
Good. So we will definitely
that sounds
check
like
that
I'm,
out.
Yeah, I'm doing that straight away.
Right. Danielle is like, Danielle, well, we're casinos are our business, and that's what we do. So, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Boré of the American Casino Guide. Get the book, check out the app, check out the videos for any information regarding casinos, how to play, what best games are, and just a wealth of knowledge you can find on the AmericanCasinoGuide.com. Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
All right, Nick and Danielle, thank you very much.
Have a great day, Steve. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, bye.
Okay.